This Shabbos, we're going to be reading the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Va'aschanan. And clearly, as soon as we look through the Aseret HaDibros, we see that there's many major differences between how it's presented in Parshas Yisro and Parshas Va'aschanan. And the question is, do these differences mean anything? And if so, what is the significance of those differences? So first of all, let's just focus on what the differences are. On the first page of the source sheet, I just put the two sets of Aseret HaDibros side by side, so you could just easily see, compare each and every Dibra, and it'll be a little bit easier to highlight the differences. But I'll just focus on source number one on the second page. The Kli Yakar gives 10 differences that he found between the two sets of Aseret HaDibros. Mefarshim will give other differences, but it's about 10, give or take a few. So let's just read that. Source number one, Zachar Soma Shabbos Akacha, Ra'u Ra'inu Relitin Tuv Tam Vadas, Ala Shinuim Shinim Tzeba Dibros Vishonos Vachronos. Aleph, what is the first difference between the first and second set of Sarasa Dibros? Barishonos Ksiv Zachar Soma Shabbos, Vachronos Ksiv Shamar Soma Shabbos. The first set it says Zachar, the second set it says Shamar. That is obviously the most famous difference between the two. Beis Barishonos Loksiv Kasher Tziv Chasham Lokecha Vachronos Ksiv B'Shabbes Ubekibud Av Va'em Kasher Tziv Chasham Lokecha. In the first set of Aseret HaDibros and Parshas Yisro, it doesn't say Kasher like Hashem commanded you, but in the second set, it does say like Hashem commanded you. Gimel, the third difference Barishonos Nasan Tam Lashmiras Hashabbos Ki Sheshes Yomim Asa Hashem V'Gomer Ubachronos Nasan Tam Acher Uz V'Zacharta Ki Eved Hayisa V'Gomer. The third difference is in Parshas Yisro, the reason for Shabbos given is that Hashem created the world. However, in Va'aschanan, the reason for Shabbos, the rationale behind it is that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim after we were slaves there. Dal, the fourth difference. When it's talking about who has to rest on Shabbos, in Parshas Yisro, it says one's ox and donkey have to rest. And in Parshas Va'aschanan, it says your ox, your donkey, and all of your animals. Addition of all of your animals. The fifth difference, hey, Barishonos Ksiv Laman Erichon Yamecho, Va'achronos Ksiv Hosef Laman Yitavlecha. So in the first set of the Aseret HaDibros, it says you should keep the mitzvah, especially for Kibbutz Ava'im, in order that your days are lengthened on the land. Whereas in Parshas Va'aschanan, it says Laman Erichon Yamecho Laman Yitavlecha. It says that you should honor your parents in order that you should live for a long time on the land, and also that it should be good for you. The addition of those extra words, L'man Yitavlach. Vav. Barishonos Ksev Losachmod V'achronos Hosef Losis Ave. In Parshas Yisro, it says Losachmod, thou shalt not covet. And in the second one, it says Losis Ave, it uses a different language. You should not desire. Zion, the seventh difference. Barishonos Lohisker Sadeu, Achronos Hosef Sadeu. So in the last Dibra of Losachmod, it has this, it doesn't mention the word Sadehu in Parshas Va'aschanan, it does say Sadehu. Ches. Barishonos Hikdim Beis Re'echa Le'eshas Re'echa, Achronos Hikdim Eshas Re'echa Le'Beis Re'echa. So the orders change between the first and the second set. Whether it has one's wife before the house, or the house before the wife, when it comes to the commandment of Losachmod. Test, Barishonos Ksiv Eid Sheker, Barishonos Amar Eid Shav. So when it talks about the ninth Dibra, the ninth commandment, it says in Parshas Yisro, Losana Barecha Eid Sheker, do not give false testimony, don't be a false witness. Whereas in Parshas Va'aschanan, it says Eid Shav, do not be. Again, it said it may be translated the same way. It could be a meaningless witness, but for whatever reason, the word is different. And the last one, Barishonos lo sin af lo signov kulam belavav uvachronos kulam bevav. So there's a vav hachibur connecting the last five dibros in Parshas Va'aschanan, whereas that doesn't happen in Parshas Yisro. So in Parshas Yisro, it's lo tirtzach, lo tin af, lo signov, whereas in Parshas Va'aschanan, it's lo tirtzach, v'lo tin'af, v'lo tignov, as a vav connecting them. So the Kli Yakar laid out pretty neatly 10 differences. Like I said, there may be a few more, or some may count a few less, but we have 10 differences. The question that remains, how significant are they? And it's a question either way, because if we say that they're not significant, clearly there's one that's significant, because Chazal pointed out the difference between the first and second Dibros, namely that of Shamar and Zachar. So let's see the source number two, Mechilta in Parshas Yisro. It says, Zachar, Shamar, Shneim, and Emer, B'dibur, Echad. Mechalam, Osimbos, Avim, Hashav, Shnei, Chavasim. So first of all, it talks about Zachar and Shamar, they were both said in the same Dibor, but then we have the Chazal give several other examples, and these don't have any nice songs made after them, but nevertheless, they still exist. Mechalam osumas, it says that that the one who violates Shabbos shall surely die. Nevertheless, it also says v'yom Shabbos shnei chavasim, that we have to bring a carbon on Shabbos. So how does that work? So that also shnei b'dibur echad nemru, they are said at the same time. Ervas eishes achicha, there's a major prohibition against having relations with the wife of one's brother. However, we also have a mitzvah of Yibam v'yavam yavam aleh shneim nemru b'dibur echad. Those were said at the same time. Similarly, the Isser of Shatnez and the mitzvah of making tzitzis, which sounds like it has to be done through Shatnez, through that mixture, also said at the same time. Something that it should be impossible for us to say, but nevertheless, the pasuk says that God spoke one thing, but we heard two. Omar, hello, Kodvar Ka'esh, no Mashem, that my words are like fire. So here we see that Chazal pointed out that they only focus on one difference between the Asaras Dibros, Zachar and Shamor. And there may also be another difference in the Yerushalmi in the Darim, it's also possibly brought in the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Chaf. So it talks about Shav V'Sheker, Shneim Nemru B'Dibur Echad. This is source number three, in Parshas Yisro, it says Eidah Shav, so Eidah Sheker, whereas in Parshas Vaschanan, that says Eidah Shav. And Mashiach Shal Lepeh Lomar V'lo Lozen L'Shmoa, something that would be impossible for the mouth to say or the ear to hear. Nevertheless, we are both at the same time. So it has an example that we didn't have in the Mechilta. Then it goes on to the more familiar one, Zachar V'Shamar, Shnei B'Dibur Echad Nemru, Mashiach Shal Lepeh Lomar V'lo Lozen L'Shmoa. And then it gives other examples that we said before. So we have another example, possibly, of Eidah Shav and Eidah Sheker, that this is an example that Chazal did focus on. But again, if you don't have that girsa, or you don't say like the Gemara in Yerushalmi, the main thing that's focused on is Zachar and Shamar. The question is, if there's a bunch of other differences, then why did Chazal only zero in and focus on Shamar and Zachar as the difference between them? Now, interestingly, so the Ibn Ezra in source number four tries to understand what exactly is going on. How do we understand this Maimar Chazal about that the two things were said at the same time? And he says, "V'kasher chipasib devar chachamim zal ma amar al kacha." This is Ibn Ezra in Shemos, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph. "Matanu sha'amru zach v'shamar b'dibur echa namru." This is one of the most difficult questions that we have. I won't say that Chazal didn't speak properly, because they were much smarter than we were. So he goes on and says, you can't say that. It's impossible to say Zachar Shamar at the same time, except through a miracle. And he basically says that if you could say it would be impossible for us to hear it, so he doesn't think that the two things were actually said at the same time. And the Maharal responds in very harsh fashion, typical of the Maharal's disagreements with the Ibn Ezra, in Sefer Teferis Yisrael, which is his work on Shavuos, in Perek Mem Gimel. He says that he takes the Ibn Ezra to task. This is in source number 5, he said that Ibn Ezra just missed the boat. He didn't understand what Chazal were trying to do. So Ibn Ezra asks, how is it possible that two things could be said at the same time? Hello, Amr Zal Asmam. The Chazal said, Chazal acknowledged that it's physically impossible, but they're saying that it's something that was able to be done through a miracle. So if Chazal is saying it's done through a miracle, you shouldn't question how it's able to be done. So that's how the Maharal criticizes the Ibn Ezra. Nevertheless, coming back to the original question, which is, Again, what is the reason for all these differences? The 10 or possibly more differences between Parshas Yisra and Parshas Vayeshanan, and also why is it focusing? If all these differences are significant, why do Chazal just focus on Zachar and Shamar, possibly Eid Sheker versus Eid Shav? So the first approach I'll take, and I'm going to offer multiple approaches given by the Mefarshei Torah, and then the last one, which will be my own thoughts. So the first approach I'll say is the tomatoes approach, which is that there's not really any major differences. It seems like there's a lot of differences between the Aseres HaDibros, the two presentations, but really they're all the same, or most of the same. So the first source would be, for that, would be the Ibn Ezra. Source number six, again in Parsha Shmos, in Sefer Shmos, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, he says, Mishpa Anche Lashon HaKodesh Shepam Yivara Diburam Be'er Heiti Bepam Yomar HaTzarech B'milas Ketzaras. So it's normal that sometimes you're going to speak a little bit more elaborately, and sometimes you're going to speak with more concise language. And several times he couches this, and it sounds like he's giving away a major secret, and possibly related to Kabbalah. So he says that the words of the Torah are like bodies, and the ta'amim, which in this sense, most likely mean the meaning behind it, that is like the soul. And the body for the soul is like a vessel. So that's why most of the time, the Chacham mostly cared about whether the meanings of the words were the same. They didn't care if slightly different words were used, as long as the reasons or the definitions behind them were the same or similar. And he gives examples like of Kayin and other examples in Eliezer where different words are used, but clearly the same intent is meant. And he basically says that most of the differences between the Aseres HaDibros, the two presentations of the Aseres HaDibros, are insignificant. They're just basically different words used to bring home the same point. But now he's left with the question. Why then do Chazal focus on Zachar and Shamar? So he says that it's because those are fundamentally different words, fundamentally different meanings. So in the second paragraph, in source number six, he says, "V'hineh zachira kolala sashmira," that the word Zachar includes Shmira as well. "V'tam Zachar sheyizkar kol yom eze." So the whole point is to remember what day of the week Shabbos is, but why do we have to remember? So that we should guard it and keep it and not do malacha. So by Zachar presupposes that we remember the day in order to keep it, to guard it. The reason for the Zachira is a Shmir. So there, when Hashem said Zachor, everyone realized the reason for that is Shamar. It says if they were said at the same time. That's what it says, that one word was used to give home 2 points. The whole reason why he says is just to tell you why the servants and the slaves have to rest as well on Shabbos. Because of the reason behind it, which was Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have a different reason behind it, behind Shabbos in Parshas Vayeshanan, just to give the reason why the servants and slaves have to rest as well. So that's the reason for the Ibn Ezra, the differences between the two Parshios are mostly insignificant, except possibly for Shamar and Zachor, because they mean different things. That's why he's bothered by it. And that's why he says, no, one actually includes the other. So that's the Ibn Ezra. And I have a similar statement of the Radak, and Sefer in Radak, Bereishis, Perek Chafdal, Pasuk Lama Tess. This is in the context of Eliezer. So he there too he says basically that the minor differences in words don't truly matter. And what is his reason for behind it? Because again, he's talking about that there's two presentations of the same story where Avram's telling something to Eliezer, then Eliezer relates it to the family. So he says milas. So it's normal. There may be some differences between the two stories. It's not a major deal. Kigam baseres devarim shehim Torah kisheshona osam b'mishna Torah shina b'hem hamilim aval hatam echad. So his example for this is that even the aseres hadibros, which are such an important and fundamental part of our Torah, nevertheless different words are used, but the reason behind them, the meaning behind them, is the same. So the Radak and the Ibn Ezra are saying that in this case, as long as the words mostly mean the same thing, not going to get worked off about it. So all these differences that we said between the parashios, not really a big deal. Okay, so that's one approach. The second approach I'll give is that of the Maharal, who basically says that it's the same content in the two parashios of Parashas Yisro and Parashas Vayeshanan. However, it's coming from two different perspectives, and this is the Maharal and the continuation there. So he basically says that the source behind it, there's a Gemara in Megillah, which says that Moshe said Sefer Devarim on his own, and that's a difficult thing for us to understand. So in the second, so what does it mean that Moshe said it on his own? So at the beginning of the next page, the second paragraph and source number 8, so this is again Perek Mem Gimel of Tiferes Yisrael. Af os achas chas v'shalom. We shouldn't say that Moshe said even in one word or one letter of Sefer Devarim on his own. Rak a hefer sheyesh bin ha-mishnah Torah u'bin shara Torah. Ki ha-Torah shenasan Hashem Yisbarach li-Yisrael yesh ba shtey b'chinos. Ha-b'china ha-achas mitzad Hashem Yisbarach v'shehu nosin ha-Torah. There's two aspects of the Torah that Hashem gives. One is, it's basically two perspectives. There's a perspective of Hashem, who is the giver of the Torah, and then there's a second aspect, which is that of the receivers of the Torah, the recipients, that is Yisrael. And normally, when two people are on the same level, so there's not going to be a major difference between those two perspectives. But when you have one side is Hashem and the other side is us, that's a massive gargantuan difference. And therefore, the perspectives between the differences in the perspectives is going to be vast. So he says that's why. So there's naturally going to be differences. So skimming down a few paragraphs, he says, he basically says that most of the differences between Yisro and Vashan are just additions. They're additions, so there's some extra words. Not quite like the Ibn Ezra that the differences are insignificant, but rather that you have kind of the basic level in Parshas Yisro, and then in Parshas Vashanim we have elaborations on that, which makes sense because Moshe, if Sefer Devarim is the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe is going to be more verbose. Just reading through the Psukim in Sefer Devarim, they tend to be a lot longer, I think, than a lot of the other Psukim, especially the first few parshiyos of Sefer Devarim, because Moshe just tends to be more verbose than the presentation that Hashem is giving in the first four books. So there's going to be additions in for, so that's most of the differences between the Aseres HaDibros of Yisro and Vayeshanan is that there are more words in Vayeshanan. Then it goes over some of the differences between them. But then what about Shamor and Zachar? So he says that those two are vastly different. In the last paragraph in the underlying part, he says of Zachar Shamor Sha'ikar HaDibor Hu HaMitzvah Atzma He Zachar Ubedibros Achronos Shamor Lo Yitachin Lomar Sha'ashinoi Hu Tosefes Achar Ki Ashinoi Hu Be'ikar HaDavar. They're so fundamentally different. You can't just say that Shamar is just an addition over Zachar. Those words mean two totally different things. So it's not, you can't just say that it's just an addition. That's why that's the one to focus the Chazal really have, especially the Mechilta, that it is said B'Dibur Echad. Those were the two things that even though they aren't, one is not a Tosefos over the other, they were both said at the same time. That's the one exception. And then what about Eid Sheker and Eid Shav? So he answers, the Maharal says, even though those aren't opposites, it's a Chiluf Shehu Giraon. because it doesn't say sheker in the Acharonis. It says it uses a different word, and again, those words mean two different things. They don't necessarily mean opposites, but they do mean different things. Zecher and Shomer, one is possibly the Aseh of Shabbos, and one is the Los Aseh of Shabbos. And the Ibn Ezra thought that those two were most of the same. The Maral says, no, they're clearly very different things, and that's why if they're so opposite, that's why Chazal focus on it. But Eid Sheker and Eid Shomer, those aren't necessarily opposites, but they are different, and that's why Chazal focused there as well. So I was saying that, ironically, even though he had the Maral was very critical of the Ibn Ezra in this parsha, he is similar in some ways to the Ibn Ezra because most of the quote unquote differences are not drastically different, but they're just a Tosefes. Again, the Ibn Ezra is slightly different. He says that they mostly mean the same thing. Okay, now the next approach we'll take is that of the Kliyakar, which is that the Torah is speaking to two different audiences in Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vaz Chanan. In Parshas Yisro, the audience is the world at large, the entire world, whereas in Parshas Vaz Chanan, it's speaking specifically to the Jews. And he says it's a beautiful approach. I won't read all of it inside, but he says basically that we know that Hashem offered the Torah to all the other nations, and they refused it. And that's basically what the presentation of Parshas Yisro was doing. It was speaking to the other nations, and therefore it's going to give a more worldly, more universal message than Parshas Vaz Chanan. So Parshas Yisro is speaking more to them, to the rest of the world, whereas Parshas Vaz Chanan is speaking to the Jews once the rest of the world turned down Hashem, and the Klal Yisrael gladly accepted the Torah. So we were the intended audience of Parshas Vaz Chanan. So he then goes on to give different reasons, and he says it makes a lot of sense there. And I won't go through all the reasons, but especially I'll focus on Shabbos, so Zachar and Shamar. So Zachar is a more universal mitzvah than Shamar. Why? Because Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. If a guy keeps all the withholds from doing all the malachas of Shabbos on Shabbos, he's Chayav Misa. But Zachar is the idea of remembering, of making Kiddush, that is something that is relevant to the non-Jews. But Shomer, that's relevant to the Jews. That's why he mentions that in Parshas Vaz Chanan. And then now, what about the reason for Shabbos? So the reason for the Goyim to remember Shabbos is because of Brias HaOlam, because Hashem created the world. Whereas the reason for Klal Yisrael to remember Shabbos is something that's more specific to us, which is the idea of Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. That didn't happen to the other nations. So it wouldn't make sense for that reason of that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to be said in Parshas Yisro. A few other examples, he mentions Laman Yitav Lach, that when it talks about Kibbutz Aim, so in Parshas Vaz Chanan it says that it would be good for us. That's talking about Olam Haba. That's also said by the Ibn Ezra, and only the Jews would believe that. The non-Jews wouldn't necessarily believe that. Also by Kibbutz Aim, it says Kasher Tzivcha. That's referring to the fact that the Jews were commanded about Kibbutz Aim already in Mara, before Matan Torah, whereas the rest of the nations of the world were not commanded about that. So it wouldn't make sense to say Kasher Tzivcha, that just like I already commanded you in Parshas Yisro, because that's not true, because it's the Parshas Yisro is talking to the rest of the world. So this is a beautiful approach by the Kliyakar, and he goes through each and every difference of the 10 that he lists, and says why it's relevant, why each one, Parshas Yisro, would be relevant for the non-Jews, the entire world, and Parshas Vaz Chanan is relating to all the Jews. Okay, to summarize, so far we have the Ibn Ezra and Radak, who say that the differences between the two parshas aren't major. We have the Maral, who says that it's really the same message in both parshios, but it's just two perspectives, the perspective of Hashem versus a perspective of Klal Yisrael. Then we have the Kliyakar, that the two parshas, the two sets of Asaras and Dibros, were speaking to two completely different audiences. Now, the rest of the approaches that I'm going to give are basically saying that they are speaking to the same audience. It's all speaking to Klal Yisrael. So the next approach will be based off of the idea that that the Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Yisro were on a fundamentally higher level than the Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Vaz Chanan, and therefore the Dibros are speaking to people at different levels. So this may be based off of the Psikta Rabasi Chaf Gimel Aleph. This is source number 10, which basically says that that the whole reason behind the Zachar and Shamar is it gives a mashal. So it says in that source of Yudin, Rabbi Aiba, Mishim, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the Melech Shalach, has been no Eitel Chemini, Moslo Isser, and Nasal Tzoches. Shibras had Tzoches, and Ibidas had Isser. So the king sent his son to the store, and the son didn't quite complete the job, so he broke everything that he was supposed to bring. So Tosh Baza Vatosh Basaro, the Nasal Pampshni of Amarlo, Hizar Shotovat as Elu, Kishem Shi Balta as Arishonos. The king said to his son, make sure you don't mess up like you did the first time. Kach, Aide Shaavdu, Yisrael, Zachar, Ramidbar, Nasal Lamishamar, Lakach Namar Zachar Vishamar. So, Kaisal didn't quite live up to the expectations of Zachar, so then Hashem told them again, Shamar, meaning basically don't mess up like you did before. So that's supposing that it's presupposing that Klal Yisrael are on a lower level than what they were already doing before, the level they were on before. And similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan and Yeradeh, in the context of Kibud Avaim, says that the third line in source number 11, the Aruch HaShulchan Yeradeh Rish Mem, Halacha is Beis and Gimel, Sif Beis and Gimel, V'yorli Delchein B'dibur Sachron K'siv Kavadus Avicha V'asimecha Kashir Tzivcha Hashem Lokecha. Why were we told to honor our parents like Hashem commanded us? It's a universal thing for people to want to honor their parents. But don't do that. We shouldn't honor our parents because our intellect tells us to do that. Rather, because Hashem told us to. They were on a great lofty level by the Divrei Rishonos. So everything that they were going to do, they were going to do for the sake of Hashem. Aval b'dibros hachronos achar chet ha'egel sh'yardu b'madrigas and istarchu l'hazhir malzeh. After the chet ha'egel, where they descended from their lofty level beforehand, that's where they needed to be told to do kibbutz ba'im, specifically because kasher tzivcha Hashem l'kach, like Hashem commanded you. Don't do it for your own, because your own intuition tells you to do so. Rather, do it for the mitzvah of Hashem. So that's another example of just the fact that we're kind of being treated as if we're on a lower level in Parshas Vayeshanan. And I think just a beautiful approach to this also is given by the Malbim. The Malbim says that he has also a very creative approach. And he says basically that, I'll say outside, this is a Malbim in Parshas Yisro, Perek Chaf, Halacha, Pasuk Zayin through Yud. He says that in Parshas Yisro, that was based off of the idea that we're originally supposed to live forever. We're supposed to be charos. It says the luchas were charos, they were carved. It really means to be charos and malach hamavas. We're free from the angel of death. We're supposed to live forever. Whereas in Parshas Vayeshanan, that's when there was already a decree of death upon us, and everything is going to change. So in Parshas Yisro, we're supposed to live forever. So the reason for Shabbos being Brias HaOlam is much more relevant. It makes more sense. Because without Brias HaOlam, people will think that there is no... Because otherwise people will think that there's no creator. People who live forever are going to think that there is no creator. And so we're being told specifically that there is a creator. So... that's why Bria said the reason for Shabbos is because of Bria's Holam. But in Parshas Vayeshanan, the reason for that, that's already after death was decreed upon us. Death is possible. So it's easier to think about a creator, but it's harder to believe in miracles, like to believe in something like Yetzias Mitzrayim. He has this beautiful line. It's underlined in source number 12. V'chol she'yesho tichla, yesho tchila. Anything that has a big end, that has an end point, such meaning after we have the decree of death upon us, it makes sense that there's going to be a beginning. Meaning we could figure out that Hashem created the world once we know that we're going to die. But it's a lot harder to believe that Hashem runs the world and cares about everything. And it really is mashkiach on everything. So that's the point why in Parshas Vayeshanan, the reason for Shabbos given is because Hashem created, didn't just create the world, but Hashem runs the world, does miracles. That's the reason for Shabbos. That's why that's different. He has some other, we'll touch on some of the other differences between that source of the verse. He says, why does it say Laman Yitav Lach? It doesn't, in Parshas Vayeshanan, it doesn't say that in Parshas Yisro. It's because when you talk about Tov, so Yitav Lach Tov is only relevant when Ra is also possible, when death is possible. So it only makes sense to talk about something being good when the opposite is possible, when there's bad that's available. But in Parshas Yisro, when we're going to live forever, there's no possibility of good or bad. It was just going to be this, just a state of being of just everything the way it's supposed to be. So you can't talk about things being objectively good or bad. That's not something that you can talk about there, but in Parshas Vayeshanan, that is possible. So that's why he uses the words L'man Yitav Lach, specifically in Parshas Vayeshanan. Then he has a very interesting approach to Shamar and Zachar, which I won't quite get into, but he does say also, again, those two should be very, very different, and he actually thinks Shamar should be more connected, is more relevant to Parshas Yisro, and Zachar is more relevant to Parshas Vayeshanan, and that's why Chazal specifically focused on the fact that there was sort of a deeper echad to show that they're really both are relevant to each time to both times. So that's why you shouldn't get too worked up about that. So that was again a beautiful approach of the Malbim, basically saying that we're on a higher level in Parshas Yisro because we're supposed to live forever. Similarly, the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Vayeshanan in Perek Hay Pasuk Yud Ches says, why does it only say by Losach what it says? It only says Sadehu in Vayeshanan. It doesn't say that in Parshas Yisro. It only mentions Sadehu in Vayeshanan because in Yisro there wasn't supposed to be Shibud Malchios, so there was going to be a Yovel, and if there's a Yovel, then fields aren't sold forever. It's basically just the payros that are being sold. So it's included in when it says V'chol Asher L'Re'echa Lo Sachman. It already said V'chol Asher L'Re'echa. So we don't need to say Sadehu. However, in Parshas Vayeshanan, that's after there already a Gzeira that there's going to be Shibud Malchios, eventually the Yovel is going to stop. Then if the Yovel stops, then fields will basically be sold forever. So it's more likely that someone will covet the field of his neighbor, of his friend. That's why Sadehu was put there as well. So this is just another extension of the fact that Klal Yisrael were on a higher level in Parshas Yisro. So we have the idea of the Psikta that says that once we messed up once, after the Chet HaEgel, we were treated a little differently. We have the Aruch HaShulchan, who talks about just being on the Klal Yisrael were on a higher level in Parshas Yisro, which is why Kibud Av Va'Em was done because Hashem commanded, not because it's intuitive. We have the Malbim, who says we were supposed to live forever during the Dibros Rishonos. And then we had the Meshech Chachma, who said that there wasn't supposed to be Shibud Malchus in Parshas Yisro during the Dibros Rishonos, which is why there wasn't the need for Sadehu there, the word Sadehu as opposed to in Parshas Vayeshanan. So a bunch of different approaches within this general idea of Klal Yisrael being on a higher level of Parshas Yisro than Parshas Vayeshanan. However, we actually have the opposite approach in said by the whole Mishnah, by the whole Moshe. The whole Moshe in Perek Hay, in Devarim Perek Hay, Pasuk Gimel, he says that I'll read the first few lines. Dor Rishon Shayu Medukayim Tachas Avdas Mitzrayim V'lo Hirglu Mikatnuzim Machshavas Nalos Haritzarech Yosher Lodiya Shachayim Mehem V'Chaber Esim Hashabbos Mebli Sheyishal Mehem Sheyitzapu L'Kayim B'Mitzvas Hashem. He says that the opposite of what we were saying before, that the Jews in Parshas Vayeshanan were on a higher level than in Parshas Yisro. And in Parshas Yisro, they still had that slave mentality. They couldn't quite grasp the lofty ideals that they could grasp in Parshas Vayeshanan. So that's why the reasons for Shabbos are going to be different there. He says, actually, similarly to the Ibn Ezra, most of the changes between the Parshas are minor ones or small additions. Maybe that's a little bit more like the Maral. But Shabbos is a huge difference. And the more correct reason for Shabbos is really Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the earlier generation couldn't handle the real reason. They may have thought that they should still work. They shouldn't give their slaves a day off on Shabbos since they didn't have a day off on Shabbos when they were in Mitzrayim. So it took another generation for people to understand the more true and idealistic reason for Shabbos. So that's the Hal Moshe, who says the opposite, who says that the Jews in Parshas Yisra were on a lower level than in Parshas Vayeshanan. So that's possibly the difference between at least some of the differences between the two presentations. So again, all these are even just within a larger account that, again, the Dibros are speaking to the same audience, possibly different generations, but fundamentally different levels. So either that the Jews in the first generation were on a higher level, or possibly that the Jews in the second generation were on a higher level. That's a Hal Moshe. Now I'm going to go to a new approach, which is basically that it's the same audience, same levels, but it's just a fundamentally different lesson that's being taught between Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vaaschanan. And a beautiful explanation of that is that of Rav Hirsch. I won't read through the Hebrew over here, but he says that part of the whole point of Sefer Devarim, he says, a lot of it is to give a national perspective. So this is the generation that's about to enter into the land of Israel, and so everything is going to be different. So he says that that's going to be the basis for a lot of the differences between the Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vaaschanan. He says, when talking about Zachar and Shamar, he says that Shmira is to withhold from work. That's something that's a lot more relevant now that we have our own land. When we were just going through the desert, we didn't have our own land. It didn't really there wasn't as much to really rest from. We weren't really doing too much work during the week. So Zachar is a lot more relevant for the generation of for the first generation, for the Dor HaMidbar. But the Dor that's entering into Eretz Yisrael, it makes more sense to talk about Shamar, because that's saying that we have our own land, we could withhold from work. And he also says, why do we focus on Yitzias Mitzrayim and Parshas Vaaschanan? Because we would think that, oh, we're so powerful, we're building this land. No, everything that we got really came from Hashem. His power is what gives us our own power. And it talks about L'man Yitav Lach. Why does it say in Parshas Vaaschanan that things should be good for you? Because future generations in Eretz Yisrael will only have a good life if they listen to the lessons of the earlier generations. And he says, why does it say Sadehu in Parshas Vaaschanan? Because now we can have property. Before we couldn't have property, it wasn't necessarily as relevant. Yes, it did say Beis Re'echa in Parshas Yisro. That could be referring to tents or things like that. But Sadehu, the field, that's only possible now that we're entering into Eretz Yisrael. And he gives some other reasons as well. So again, this is different than the previous approaches, because Rav Hirsch is saying that it's the same audience, and not necessarily that there's a fundamentally different, like a level, madriga, difference between the two generations, but rather that there's just a completely different lesson. This is the perspective of going into Eretz Yisrael. So we have to teach a different lesson than we teach to the generation that left Mitzrayim. And then just to finish up, I'll give my own idea, which I is based off of several other points, which I think that really they have to understand the reason behind Sefer Devarim in general, and that what is the point of Asar Sadibras within Sefer Devarim. So this is actually Machlokas, among the Parshanim, what exactly is the point? And we have it's a very interesting breakdown by the Malbim, who says that Sefer Devarim is really split into three different books. So read in source number 15, the Malbim in the very beginning of Sefer Devarim says, Eila Devarim HaChemisha. So he asks basically the first five psukim seem very superfluous. And so then he goes on and says the second line of that source, Shemin Pasuk Vav, which is Hashem Elokeinu Dibar Eloheinu B'Chareiv Ad Parsha Yud Beis, from basically Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav until Perek Yud Beis, Shemaschal Eila Achukim HaMashpatim Asher Tishmur Nasos. The first section of the Sefer is Musar Tochacha, Shemaskal Tovas Habore Aleam, Umashachatu Kenegda, Umazir Osam Al Yiras Hashem, Vavasav, Vashalolashkoach, Tovosav, Umamadar Sinai, Vichadome. So basically saying that we should be warned about fearing Hashem and loving Him, we shouldn't forget everything He's done for us, and Umamadar Sinai, etc. The whole point is to give us Musar. And then from Parsha Yud Beis, from Perek Yud Beis and on, he goes on to speak about the mitzvahs and things like that. Interestingly, the Ksav Kabbalah argues and thinks that the Sefer Devarim is split into three different parts, and the Musar part actually ends right before the Asharas HaDibros, and the Asharas HaDibros begins the mitzvah portion of the Sefer. But I'm a little bit more partial to the idea of the Malbim, that the Asharas HaDibros is part of the Musar that Moshe is giving to Klal Yisrael. And I think that the raya for this could be from the words that come immediately before the pasuk immediately before the Asar Sadibros in Parshas Vaaschanan. Because of the pasuk immediately beforehand, what does it say? Anochi amid bein Hashem v'bein Echem, b'yisahi la'agid lachem es devar Hashem, ki yireisim b'nei ha'esh, v'lo alisem b'har le'mor, anochi Hashem v'kach, etc., etc. That Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, I stood between Hashem and between you to teach you the words of Hashem, because you were afraid of the fire, and you didn't go up on the mountain. Le'mor, this is what I was telling you. What's the point of this line? Why is Moshe telling them, oh, you were afraid of the fire and you didn't go up the mountain? So it sounds like he's rebuking them. He's giving them Musar. And the Sfas Emes says that's exactly what he's doing. The Sfas Emes on that pasuk says, he asks a question. What is it that they didn't go up the mountain? They were commanded not to go up the mountain. Hashem tells them not to go up the mountain. So the answer is that the reason that they didn't go up the mountain isn't really because Hashem told them not to go up the mountain. They had Yiras Ha'ish. The pasuk says, "Ki yirasim b'nei Ha'ish." They were afraid of the fire. They didn't have Yiras Haromos. They weren't afraid of Hashem. They were just afraid of the fire. And similarly, the Netziv in the Hamikdavar there says, "Afilu below Azhara hayu yireim lalos." Even had they not been warned to go up the mountain, they still would have been too fearful to go up. And mishum Moshe. They didn't quite understand the second Dibros like Moshe did. And that's what Moshe is doing to rebuke Klai. So this is the Araya, I think, that like the Malbim, that this part, the Saras Dibros, is really part of the Musar that Moshe is giving to Klai Yisrael. So if you view the Saras Dibros in Parshas Vaschanan from a Musar lens, it makes a little bit more sense about all the differences that we're going to see. To say, and this again, it very much fits the theme of Eschanan, the aspirational drive, not just the national aspect that the Rav Hirsch was saying that it's about they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael, was speaking things about how to build a nation. No, it's just the legacy that Moshe is trying to give over to Klai Yisrael before he dies, and part of that involves a Moshe that he's giving them. So we'll go through some of the differences between the Saras Dibros and try to focus on why they can how they can fit into this perspective. So like the Maharal says, many of the changes in are additions in the Vaschanan, but it's not just just additions for the sake of being additions or because we're more verbose, because it's from the human perspective. No, it's rather showing the high expectations for Klal Yisrael that Moshe is giving them, or to drive home a Musar point. So first of all, Shamar versus Zachor. So why does it say Zachor in Parshas Yitzchak and Shamar in Parshas Vaschanan? Because Shamar isn't just saying that it's a positive action that you do. No, it has to permeate everything that we do or don't do. It's not just a few positive actions. So it has to include the melachos of Shabbos, or the Meshech Chachma says Shamar includes the shvusim of Shabbos. I mean, it's creating an environment. So it's going to be more aspirational than merely the zachor of Parshas Yisro. Kibud Avaim, it says Kasher Tzivcha. It's basically saying, I already told you about this. When you're saying, we're driving home how important this point is. Yitzias Mitzrayim, it drives home the idea of Hakaras HaTov. Again, giving Musa, how could you have forgotten Hashem? Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Without him, you'd still be there. It's in Parshas Vaschanan, it's more aspirational. It's applying to everything you own. It's not just to specific things, Shorcha v'chamorcha, just specific animals. It's everything. L'man Yitavlach, it talks about Kibud Avaim, that showing the good that can happen as a result. And that's also part of the Musar that Moshe is giving, saying not that you should focus up and do the right thing, not just because it's expected of you, but also that you're going to get this great reward. And Losis Ava, it mentions that in Parshas Vaschanan, and not just Losach. But again, that's possibly a higher level of expectations, that even thoughts, not just the actions that you do, but even within your heart, Losis Ava, a more internal experience, that is also expected of you to have the proper thoughts. Sadehu, the fact that it applies even to Sadehu, that's an addition, again, showing that it applies to Karka and Metaltalin, etc. So, and then, talking about the Vav HaChibur, the Vav connecting things. Again, when you're giving Musar, you're going to be saying, not just this, also don't do this, also don't do this. You're making these connections and piling on. That's the idea behind the Vavs, and also behind the Aseres HaDibros. In Parshas Vaschanan, it's to drive home this Musar point, to say that you have to truly appreciate everything that Hashem has done for you, and you have to show that you're worthy of everything that Hashem has invested in you and expects from you. So to summarize what we've done so far, so we spoke about the differences between the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vaschanan, and we mentioned the different approaches to them. We have the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, who say that there aren't really any major differences. And the Ibn Ezra says even Shamar and Zachar are mostly the same. The Maharal thinks that it's really just the same message. It's just two perspectives. One is the human perspective. One is the godly perspective. Then we had that a broader idea that there's the different audiences. The Kliyakar, who says that Parshas Yisro is talking to the whole world, whereas Parshas Vaschanan is speaking to the Jews specifically. Then we have talked about levels, Madregos, the Malbim, the Psikta, the Aruch HaShulchan, talking about how or the Meshech Chachma, either that maybe we're supposed to live forever, or there wasn't going to be Shibud Malchios. So the Jews in Parshas Yisro were on a higher level than in Parshas Vaschan. Alternatively, we had the idea that that the Jews were on a lower level in Parshas Yisro, that like the whole Moshe, and we could speak a little bit more aspirationally to them in Parshas Vaschan. We had the idea of Rav Hirsch that is giving them the perspective that they needed to enter into Eretz Yisrael to build a nation. And finally, the approach that we gave about just the fitting into the overall theme of Sefer Devarim, this part of Sefer Devarim being to give Musar to Klal Yisrael to show that there's great expectations of them, and that's going to be the reason for most of the additions in Parshas Vaschana. And just to finish up, the Chiddush Arim says that the Chiddush Arim comments that B'matan Torah haya choshech anan va'arafel lahara shedivrei Torah tzarech liyaga atzmo legalas mashanister. With Matan Torah, again, we were speaking about the Aseres HaDibros. So in Matan Torah, there was darkness, clouds, etc., to show that just like there was darkness and clouds during the time of Matan Torah, so too, Torah itself could be hidden. But we have to work truly, we have to work really, really hard in order to uncover that which is hidden there. And that's what we've been trying to do over the course of this year. We show how much we have to put into each word to uncover its depth, the myriad messages behind it, to show that Torah can have multiple perspectives, can speak to multiple generations, no matter your level and no matter your goal.